news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Another victim of Wednesday morning's mass shooting in San Jose has died, bringing the number of people killed to 9. Authorities said the gunman, identified by several sources as a maintenance worker at the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority light rail hub, killed himself as police arrived. President Biden responded with a statement saying, quote, enough. Once again, I urge Congress to take immediate action and heed the call of the American people, including the vast majority of gun owners, to help end this epidemic of gun violence in America. But don't expect Congress to treat our gun epidemic like the emergency it is. The House has already gone on a 3-week break, and the Senate is set to leave Friday for Memorial Day and the rest of the week, but has 3 major issues to deal with first, and none of them are related to the gun and mass shooting epidemic. The first order of business is the one that's gotten the least media attention, and it has to do with China. The U.S. Innovation and Competition Act is set for a cloture vote to cut off debate Thursday morning. If it passes, that sets up more debate and a full Senate vote. Waiting in the wings is a procedural vote on the bill calling for the creation of a bipartisan January 6th commission. That won't happen, though, until they first resolve the China issue. It is expected that the Senate will get to the vote on Thursday, but Republican leadership is opposed to it, and it doesn't appear that 10 Republican senators are open to voting for it. If they block the bill, Nancy Pelosi must decide if she'll appoint a select committee, though that decision won't come immediately. If Republicans do block either of these bills, it'll mark the first use of the filibuster to stop legislation this year in the Senate. And it'll certainly once again spur discussion of changing the filibuster rules. Senator Dick Durbin, the second ranking Democrat in the Senate, said, quote, we have a mob overtake the Capitol and we can't get the Republicans to join us in making historic record of that event. That is sad. That tells you what's wrong with the Senate and what's wrong with the filibuster. So you know the name Sicknick, Brian Sicknick. He's the U.S. Capitol police officer who died after clashing with the rioters during that January 6th attack. Well, his mother is now asking Republican leaders for meetings to convince them to back the proposed commission to investigate what happened. The third piece of Senate business on the table is the infrastructure bill. Republican Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia has been heading the Republicans' negotiations with the White House. On Thursday morning, at a press conference, she unveiled a revised counteroffer for the infrastructure spending, outlining a roughly $928 billion package that is still very far short of what the White House has proposed. This plan allocates about $500 billion for roads, $98 billion for public transit, $46 billion for passenger rail, and more than $70 billion for water infrastructure. Republicans also recommended additional spending for ports, waterways, airports, and broadband connectivity, maintaining their belief that any package should stick to what they describe as traditional infrastructure. The problem is, though, that this package uses unspent COVID relief money already approved by Congress, an idea opposed by the White House. And if you're wondering why, well, the White House believes that much of the unspent COVID money should go toward hospital payments for rural health care providers and state and local aid. Plus, they say it only amounts to about $200 billion, which is nowhere near the $1 trillion that Republicans want to spend. New York Times is reporting that during the 2 weeks of clashes in Israel and Gaza this month, the Anti-Defamation League collected 222 reports of anti-Semitic harassment, vandalism, and violence here in the United States. That's compared with 127 over the previous 2 weeks. Incidents are, quote, literally happening from coast to coast and spreading like wildfire. That according to Jonathan Greenblatt, chief executive of the Anti-Defamation League, who continued saying, quote, until the latest surge, anti-Semitic violence in recent years was largely considered a right-wing phenomenon driven by a white supremacist movement emboldened by rhetoric from the former president, who often trafficked in stereotypes. Many of the most recent incidents, by contrast, have come from perpetrators expressing support for the Palestinian cause and criticism of Israel's right-wing government. President Biden has asked the U.S. intelligence community to double down on efforts to investigate the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic in Wuhan, China, and report back to him in 90 days. This latest push came after renewed attention to the possibility that the virus might have escaped a Chinese lab. The possibility was long considered a fringe conspiracy theory, but it gained credence recently when new information came to light about hospitalizations of three lab workers weeks before the first cases were reported in Wuhan. Meanwhile, a study has revealed that the majority of severe COVID-19 cases brought on long-term symptoms. While that's not good news, U.S. officials hope that the warning will encourage more people to get vaccinated. Oh, and in Japan, the government is supposed to decide by Friday whether to extend a state of emergency across much of the country, which is just 2 months away from the planned start of the Tokyo Olympics. Many are calling for the games to be canceled. Stay tuned. Well, score one for climate activists who prevailed in two major victories over oil companies. A small hedge fund called Engine Number One unseated two ExxonMobil board members on Wednesday in a push to force the oil company to make changes to join the fight against climate change. Investors have increasingly expressed concerns that the energy industry isn't doing enough to change business strategies to address global warming. Eight of Exxon's nominees were elected to spots on the 12-member board, as were two Engine Number One nominees. This marks the first time ever that America's largest oil company has faced such a challenge, and it sends a message to other oil companies that investors are not afraid to act on the possibility of shifting away from fossil fuels. In the other victory, a Dutch court ruled that Royal Dutch Shell must dramatically reduce its carbon emissions by 45% by 2030 from 2019 levels. This is the first time a court has ruled that a company must reduce its emissions in line with global climate goals, and the decision could have far-reaching implications for other oil companies. And it's that time of the year. The Supreme Court seems to hold its biggest decisions for the very end of the term, which traditionally comes in May and June. So on Thursday, the court signaled they'd be releasing some opinions. There are a number from April that have not yet been announced. But on Thursday morning, they announced just one. A unanimous decision written by Samuel Alito in San Antonio versus Hotels.com that's about whether district court has the discretion to deny or reduce appellate costs. The court upheld the Fifth Circuit Court decision in saying, no, it does not. And that was it. The rest of the decisions will come in June. Stay tuned. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.